Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
It has been described as a little film with a big heart. It is the new romantic drama Bella. I can say it really is the very meaning of its word. Beautiful. It's been charming audiences right around the world, including our very own shores. And the lead actor and one of the producers of the film, Eduardo Verástegui, joins us on Open House right now. Eduardo, welcome to Open House.
It's an honor for me. Thank you.
Buenas noches, señor.
Buenas noches, señores. Hermanos australianos. Speak very good Spanish. Your accent is very good.
I was in Peru just for a couple of weeks at the beginning of the year, but I'm sorry. That's as far as I can remember. That's all I can remember of Spanish. I love the language, but I can't grasp much of it.
Well, you did very good, man.
Hey, congratulations on this movie. Bella, it really is a beautiful, touching movie. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I never in my life I have been working in something so meaningful like this film. You know, this film has changed the lives of many people, including me. And you know, this is the first time that I produce and act at the same time. So It was such an amazing and beautiful experience.
For those who haven't seen it, just give us a rough sketch as to how you describe the film, Bella.
Well, you know, this is a love story. But, you know, a real love, you know, when someone is willing to sacrifice everything to help someone that, you know, that is in need, you know. This film is about a man who had everything, you know, money, success, fame, and many other things. And something happened in his life where he lost it all. But in it all, he found everything that matters in life, which is faith and family and true love and true friendship and many other beautiful things that you will see while you're watching the film.
Have you had anything to do with some of the themes that have been woven into the movie, Bella? Because it is very strong in a lot of very, very touching themes. And just knowing a little bit of your story, I was wondering whether you had much to do with the script itself.
Well, you know, this film, the script is inspired in a true story. It's written by Alejandro Monteverde, who is the director as well, and he's my business partner. And one day, you know, he was driving from Austin, Texas to Los Angeles, California. And while he was driving, the story came through him. And it's two stories combined in one. When he got in Los Angeles, he told me the story. And then he went to the mountains to Lake Tahoe for 2 months. And he wrote the script over there, and then he came back to Los Angeles and I read it and I fell in love with the story. You know, maybe I didn't go through the things that he went through, but I had those moments in my life where something happened in my life and I had a change in my heart. You know, when I look back to see my life and I saw those moments where I thought was the end of the world, you know, those things that I thought were cursings turned out to be blessings, you know?
Yeah, Eduardo, it's been a pretty interesting road for you all around, isn't it? I mean, you used to be a Calvin Klein underwear model. You played a starring role in one of J-Lo's video clips. You were in a Mexican equivalent of NSYNC for a few years there. And then you mentioned this before, you did have this change of heart. It all kind of got to the point where you thought, is this meaningful at all? Tell me about that. Tell me about that change of heart.
Well, you know, I'm from a very small town, northern Mexico, and I moved to Mexico City when I was 18 years old to pursue my dream. I wanted to be an actor, I wanted to be a singer, and so I started singing in a boy band for 3.5 years, traveling all over Latin America, and right after that I started doing soap operas. And you know, in Mexico we don't have so many options like here in you know, like in America and in the US, you know. Over there in Mexico, either, you know, if you want to make a living as an actor, you either do soap operas, you know. So I stuck on that for almost 4 years. And then right after that I moved to Miami. You know, Miami is like the capital of Latin America, is the capital of Latino music as well. Mm. So I moved there to record my first solo album in Spanish. And one day, I was flying from Miami to Los Angeles. And on the plane, I met this person who happens to be the VP of casting for 20th Century Fox. And to make a long story short, you know, he invited me to an audition for a film he was working. And I told him I don't speak English. But then he said, why don't you just memorize the 5 pages of the audition and give it a try? So that's what I did. I mean, I knew how to count 1 to 10 and a few other words. You know, my car is red, gallina chicken, things like that, you know. What is the bathroom? But then he said, no, I just memorize those 5 pages because I'm looking for a Mexican with an accent, and maybe that could be you. So I got the part, moved to Los Angeles, immersed myself in the language, not allow myself to speak Spanish with anybody for a year. So I forced myself to start thinking in English. Right after that, that's when I realized that the lifestyle that I was living was unfulfilling. I felt empty and something was missing in my life. I was lost. I was confused. And everything started because my English teacher, the one that I hired, not only she taught me English, but she changed my life because she started asking me, you know, very important and profound questions like, you know, what's the purpose of life? How are you using your talents? Who is God in your life? Mm-hmm. And how are you choosing your projects? And next thing you know, I realized that I was assuming the responsibilities that I have to assume as an actor, you know. I realized that the reasons why I wanted to be an actor were very superficial reasons. Thing was the fame, money, success, you know, pleasure. And I realized that I was using my talents in a very selfish way. And at the same time, I realized that Latinos, we have been stereotyped in a very negative way in the media, in film and television. Always the bandido, the prostitute, the criminal, the thief.
Yes.
And if you're good looking, then you are the Don Juan Latin lover, you know, yeah. Womanizer. And I realize that very few times you see Latinos having the opportunity of being heroes or you know, but the real hero, not like Superman or Spider-Man. I'm talking about the everyday hero,
yeah.
You know, the man that is honest, the man of integrity, a man of faith, a man of character, a man that is willing to sacrifice everything to help his wife, his friends, you know, a real man, you know, and women as well. Sometimes they have been stereotyped as an object, you know, and sex symbols, and that's it. And when I see my family and I see my grandmother, my mother, my aunts, my sisters, you know, they are not objects. They are the heart of the family. They're full of wisdom. They're beautiful, that they're smart. And that's when I made that promise. I made a promise to God that I will never use my talents again in anything that will offend him, my faith, my culture, my family. It broke my heart when I realized that the talents that God gave me, I was using them in a wrong way. You know, yeah. It broke my heart when I realized that I was offending God with the talents that He gave me.
Yeah, well, that sounds like quite a turnaround. And so, did you become a Christian? Was there a conversion experience, or was it more a case of I have been raised as a Christian and I'm kind of rediscovering the faith that I was once taught?
No, I've been Christian all my life since I was baptized, Christian Catholic all my life. The only difference is that I didn't know my faith very well, and you can't love anything that you don't know. I mean, I had the basics. I always believed in God, and I always wanted to, you know, to be a good person, but I didn't know my faith very well. So what happened is 6 years ago, when I started knowing my faith better and better and better, that's when I realized that my lifestyle, the lifestyle that I was living, everything was contradicting,
yeah.
You know, what I was believing and the way how I was behaving, it was two different things. That's when I realized that, you know, what Mother Teresa said. She said, we are not called to be successful, we are called to be faithful to God. That
that's
is our
right.
success.
Yeah.
Now, if by being faithful to God, success come, thanks be to God, it's a blessing. But if that come, thanks be to God. You know, you can't compromise your faith and your values in order to obtain the word thing success is, because that success doesn't come from God. So I realized for the first time, I was not born to be a movie star. I wasn't born to be a producer. I wasn't born to be famous. I was born to know, love, and to serve Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to die so he can reign your heart, you know, and guide your life. And that's when I let it go, and I, you know, I made that promise that I told you that I said, Lord, please forgive me. And not only he forgave me, but he changed my heart. He made me a new man, and he became the center of my life. And
Eduardo Verástegui is our guest on Open House. He's the lead actor of this new movie, Bella. He's also one of the producers, and a fascinating story behind it. So, Eduardo, when you make this recommitment to God, I'm interested to know, though, how does that affect one's career, especially when you've been in music, you've been in film, you know, you did the I think novellas, I think they're called, the the soap operas of Latin America. Did everything dry up, or basically did you just have to say a lot of no to the roles you were no longer going to do?
Well, yeah, that's what I did, you know. After you have everything more clear and you know that the purpose of life is to know and to love and to serve God, when you have clear what is the purpose of life, what is the meaning of life, and of course, so after I made a promise, I spoke to my managers and to my agents, and I told them, this is what I want to do now. And it was very hard because they couldn't understand what I was going through, so what I had to do is to turn down all the projects that I was receiving, all the roles that I was offered, because those stories were, you know, again, the same negative stereotype that I promised that I will never do. It was tough because for 4 years I couldn't work in anything. I had to turn down everything, until one day I thought maybe God was calling me to do something else. So I was about to leave Hollywood to go to the jungle in Brazil, to the Amazons, to do missionary work and to help the poor. And you know, because I read a book, and that book talks about giving to God 2 years of your life to discern what He wants from you, doing missionary work. So when I was about to do that, my friend who gave me that book, he told me, where are you going now? I said, I'm going to the jungle, to Brazil. And he said, where? I said, to the jungle. And he said, Eduardo, Hollywood is a bigger jungle. And I told him, yeah, but you know, I need to go there to help the poor, because for me, you know, I'm going through something right now, and I think God is calling me to help the poor. I said, Eduardo, it's more poverty in Hollywood, and I'm not talking about material poverty, I'm talking about the spiritual poverty, and this is where you need to be. And I told him, yeah, but you know what, I don't know anybody, I'm alone here. And he said, no, you're not alone. God plus one is an army, and it's more than one. And remember, Hollywood doesn't belong to the studios. Hollywood belongs to God, and we need to take it back. So he convinced me to stay, even though I wasn't working, and you know, I barely can speak English. It was hard, but then I decided to stay here for a while, and that's when I met Alejandro Monteverde and Leo Severino, my two business partners, and the three of us. We started this company in my house, in the living room, in front of a little table and a cell phone, and that's when we started the whole dream of changing the world through the media. And I realized that sometimes, you know, many people who work in the media, we forget that whatever we do, our projects will affect how people think, especially young people, you know, because young people, we have this tendency and this inclination to copy and to imitate what we see in film or television or what we read in magazines. It's a wonderful platform, but some people use it for the wrong thing, and I was one of them. You know, I was poisoning our society with the projects that I was involved. But one day I realized that I was doing something wrong, so I repent, and I'm trying to do my best to use the media to do things that I can invite my mother and my grandmother, and I don't have to cover their eyes in anything.
Yes. Well, of course, the fruit of that is this movie, Bella. Tell me about some of the response you've had from viewers to the film. I understand, and I don't want to give too much about the storyline away, but I understand that people have actually gone as far as adopting children as a result of the inspiration they've had from watching Bella.
Well, that's what I was telling you before, that this little film with a big heart has changed the lives of many people, including me. When I heard that many people, after they left the theater watching Bella, they left inspired to adopt a child. Think about it. This Christmas, many children had a home. But more than a home, a family that will love them, that will help them to be, you know, successful. I mean, that will help them to be, you know, to achieve their dreams. I mean, what's better than that? But not only that, the gift that the child gave to the parents, the gift of parenthood and motherhood. So in adoption, everybody wins. So by the grace of God, this little film touched so many hearts, and those people left inspired to adopt a child. And besides that, I heard that more than 10 women to let an appointment to exterminate their pregnancy. After they seen Bella, they decided to keep their babies. So think about it. More than 10 babies are alive now, and those are the ones that we know of. Only God knows how many more. It's been amazing, you know, and I'll just tell you a very, very quick story. A year and a half ago, I was in Miami showing Bella to a group of friends. I was doing a focus group, and one of my friends called me a few weeks later, and he told me, Eduardo, I love your film, and I'm calling you because one of my best friends, who you know him, his girlfriend is pregnant. And tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, they have an appointment to have an abortion. And you know what? She wants to have her baby, but she is confused because her boyfriend already put so much pressure on her, and she feel, you know, she's been forced to do it. And I'm calling you because after I saw the movie Bella, and after I saw what Jose, your character, what he did, you know, I thought about you. So I'm calling you because I need a big favor. Can you please call my friend? And I know that he will listen to you. I mean, this is a very delicate call. I was in Los Angeles, and this guy was in Miami. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, which means 7 hours before the appointment. So I called him, and after 20 minutes of conversation, I told him, okay, listen, my friend, this person called me, and he told me about your situation, and I know that you are going through something really tough and really hard, and, you know, I'm not here to judge you or anything like that. At the end of the day, you can do whatever you want. But, you know, listen for 1 second. Listen to me for 1 second. If you don't want your baby, give it to me. I'm willing to adopt it. And the only reason why I said that is because after seeing Bella more than 200 times, my own movie, you know, I was inspired. But not only that, you know, all the big organizations in America who promote adoption and who help us to promote Bella, they changed my life as well, because to be honest, I never thought about adoption until the making of Bella. Yeah. And I realized that it's nothing more beautiful and noble than to give a child a home and a family that will love them. So he was quiet, and I told him, you know, I'm going to Miami. I'm in Los Angeles right now, but I will fly to Miami in a few days. So let's talk. So he canceled the appointment. I went to Miami, and I showed him and his girlfriend the movie, Bella. And make a long story short, last year, the baby was born, and they called her Bella. Man, when I went to Miami, and when I was holding the baby in my arms, the way how she was looking at me, I mean, with her beautiful eyes and beautiful smile, I mean, I started crying, and I hold it in my arms, and I remember saying, even if I don't sell one ticket of this film, it doesn't matter. I rejoice in the Lord. For this baby.
Yeah, and I just think about that original idea to go to the Amazon and to do missionary work and to look after poor people, and you've actually, you know, God has in turn actually brought about you being able to help poor people in your very own area with the serving of so many children. That's a wonderful thing.
There's nothing more beautiful than waking up in the morning and to fight for a mission that is bigger than yourself, a mission that will make a difference in people's lives for forever, for the better.
Well, all power to you. May God continue to use you in this way and bring about some wonderful art for his glory and for the sake of people who need to hear about him. Eduardo, great to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you, man. I mean, one of the other miracle for me is, I mean, to have my movie in Australia. Really, it's really amazing. I never thought when I was making this film, you know, we were just students and trying to make a difference. But now, I mean, this is really amazing that I'm doing this interview with you. And I just want to take this opportunity to say hello to all my brothers from Australia. And I hope you enjoy my movie and those who haven't seen it yet, I invite you to see it, and God bless you, and I wish you the best, and thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, good on you, Eduardo. That's Eduardo Verastegue. He plays the character of Jose in the award-winning film Bella. It really is a beautiful piece of work. Go and check it out.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.